So we're up to the last part of Siman Tzadikas for us, and that's the issue of Chayz of Neir, a whole sugya that appears in the Gemara, and at least in some different context in the Gemara, but the following fundamental shaila. I have a little bit of a dover also that falls into a dover hamutter, and again, we don't know yet whether it's all been done. We don't know the details yet, but a little bit fell in, and Allah had declared that it was takabato. Baruch Hashem, great kavaldik. So if I want to eat it at that point, everything's a kavaldik. Then what happens? And a few minutes later, some morissa falls in. A few minutes later, a little morissa falls in. And finally, at the end of the day, I realize that, hey, if I do the math now, so it's not going to be bottle. So the question is, what do you do at that point? So do you apply the following principle called chayz of a neyer? It means even though when the original issa fell in, it was bottle. It means it was sleeping. So that's irrelevant. When it's sleeping, it's not accomplishing anything. It's chayz of a neyer. It wakes up. When more of its friends come in, and now it's got enough to aser, so taka that original davar aser that was this baltel becomes, wakes up again and causes a problem. That's called chayz v'neir. Or do you apply the opposite principle of chayz v'neir? It's called kama kama baltel. You have a right to say that once the little bit of drop became baltel, so it's kama leisa, we ignore it. So it's hereby, it's dead. It's not sleeping. It's mamish dead. And it's not going to come back to life anymore, no matter how much more you add on. So as long as the issa was added at a rate of a little bit at a time, we could say kama kama bottle. So those two principles, chayz v'neir, kama kama bottle, are opposites of one another. Which one do we subscribe to? So the one of the main sugyas appears in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah in the context of Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach is one of those things that's aser b'mashehu. Even the smallest amount of Yayin Nesach will trafe up the entire barrel of wine. But at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, that's not always true. According to one day in the Gemara, that if you have a big barrel of wine that's heter, and a little bit of issa falls in, so then you wouldn't say Yayin Nesach Aser B'mashehu. If you have the other way around, if you have a little bit of a tray for wine, and then heter falls onto it, so then you would say it Aser B'mashehu. But as long as you're starting out with a big vat of heter, and a little bit of issa falls in, according to one opinion in the Gemara, you wouldn't say Yayin Nesach Aser B'mashehu. The Gemara raises the question, assuming that's true, what would it then be if it starts to drop it a little bit, then a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more? Do you say that it's totally mutter? Do you say kama kama batil? Or do you reach a point where you can no longer say kama kama batil? So the Gemara quotes machlekes about this. So the question is, what do we do with this piece of information? We have a machlekes and a rhyme about the application of kama kama batil in a strange case. Most of our shailas and hilchos tarovos have nothing to do with yayin nesach. We're much more interested in a little bit of chaza falling into potato soup. We're much more interested in other kinds of classic tarivuses. So what do we do with the fact that the Gemara has this discussion tucked away in the end of Masech Sevedizah? So this was a big machlokes of Rishonim. What conclusion should we draw? So the Ravid is quoted by the Rishonim as drawing the following conclusion. The Ravid says that really, me'ika mikra din, we should always say kama kama batal. Once the davar also is batal, it's still batal, finish itself, it's done. It's history. Nothing could possibly go wrong afterwards. I said, why does the Gemara quote one day that disagrees? That's in the realm of Yayin Nesach, Yayin Nesach is so chomer, it's a bit of Zorah, and you have Yachmum and Acherem, throw the whole book at you. We're going to be much more machmir in Hilchos Yayin Nesach than we'll be in other areas of Halacha. And therefore, it's mitan le'amer that maybe Chayz of Neir takes place. But in regularly suit, in regularly Yerdei, a Siman Tzadikas, says the Ravid, come about, though once a little bit of Issa falls in, everything's great, nothing to worry about, everything's fine, nothing can ever go wrong. That's the Sheet of the Ravid. So the Rishon quote this Ravid and a Tomei on this Ravid. So what the Ravid sounds like he just said is that I have potato soup and a little drop of chaza falls in. So I make the chesed with mashishim. Great, it's mutter. Then a little bit more falls in, If that happens enough times, at the end of the day, it's going to taste like chaza soup. It's not going to taste like potato soup. And the Ravid says it's still mutter. Because if you really invoke that principle called kama kama batal to the end, so that it happened a million times over, each time it was bottled, each drop never comes back to life. I have mamash a pot of 100 ounces of chaza soup and 20 ounces of potato soup, and it's still mutter. I taste the chaza. I didn't say anything yet. I just said the rabbit.
Why they ask about the rabbit? That's not the day of the Gemara. That's not what the...
Okay, so the Gemara is not talking about tam. The Gemara is talking about yayin b'yayin, so it's there's no issue of nosin tam there. So it's a little different kasha. Okay? So come to Rishon and say, how you talking about this? Would the Ravid say that you're allowed to eat chazer? It's almost like eating chazer. Why is it eating chazer? Because it tastes like chazer. So therefore it should be also. So the Rishon called the Ravid, says they don't know what he's talking about. How could it be such a thing? So the Yama says the kasha is a little bit hard to understand. Why they were so tamei in the kasha? So it tastes like chazer. So what? Who says you're not allowed to have a taste of chazer? The Gemara says in Maseches Chulin that there's a fish out there that tastes the chazer also. You're allowed to have artificial bacon bits. Why can't you have a case that tastes the chazer? If it's a halachically a chepta from chazer, then you're not allowed to eat it. So there is a din that if you have tam that comes from a halachic chepta of chazer, so then we can discuss tam kikr, not tam kikr. But if lamaisa, if the halacha dictated that it was batel, and the Ravid really believes that in the world of bitul isurin, you say kama batel, so that means the chazer's not here. It's, to quote a phrase from we spoke about once, isa nepech l'yosetter. So it's a davar hamutter, which happens, lo and behold, to be emitting a taste of chazer. Why is that any worse than an artificial tasting chazer? So the fact that it tastes like chazer, what does it bother me? So the kasha, the Rishonim phrased the kasha, the Ravid, how can it be it has a tam chazer, how can it be mutter? So it's hard to understand what exactly the Rishonim wanted from the Ravid. But lamaisa, notwithstanding the fact that we have some issues with the Ravid's, with the reputation of the Ravid, all the other Rishonim disagree with the Ravid. Nobody really holds like this Ravid. Except for the Shulchan Aruch, but nobody else holds like the Ravid. Just kidding. Nobody is inside joke. Nobody really holds like the Ravid. So the Gemara has this whole discussion about whether you say Kamakar Batel, whether you don't say Kamakar Batel. So L'chor, the answer is that first of all, that's not talking about Tam, and second of all, Fakir, that's talking about something which is really above and beyond the regular rules of your Adeya. We're talking about something which is Asa B'Mashu. So that's such a Chumra, to ask the things B'Mashu. I mean, who says that we're going to be able to extrapolate from chumras of Asa B'Mashu to regular cases of Nesinus Tam? The whole sugi is a different sugi. Yeah, it has to work through its own rules. So the Pashta Dvarim is that most of the Rishonim say that sugi is an independent sugi by Yayin Esach. It really doesn't have any impact on regular urine. But Ava Bichay, notwithstanding the fact that the Ravid seems to be rejected, there are other sugyas that also invoke similar kinds of ideas of Kama Kama Boto, albeit not quite in Yoredei Chelek Aleph, which may also be similar to the idea of the Ravid, particularly a Yishita of Rabbi Natan that appears in the end of a few places, appears at the end of Masechet Bechoros, it appears in Masechet Nedarim, a few places where the Gemara is talking about a different kind of a tarobus, which is not Yoredei Chelek Aleph, Yoredei Chelek Beis, it's tarobus of Mayim of a mikvah. Now we've already seen a little bit of a comparison, a lack thereof, between some of the dinim of mikvahs and the dinim of Yisrael. Who remembers when we spoke about this? Ramban, right? The Ramban was the one who claimed that the machlekes, whether you say chetikah nasavel b'shari surim, is a machlekes that's in tachtuwe nuchas mikvahs. And the Ran says nuchas mikvahs, that's your dechle base, it's not your dechle off. The rules are totally different. So here you see also a similar idea in the Rishonim. Should we connect to sugyas? The sugyas of Avodah Zarah, of Tarovus, of Simitan Kesh, of Chazvinair, versus Kam Kam Batil. How does this relate to a statement of Rabbi Natam in the famous sugya about Hilchos Mikvos? The Mishnah says, Maseches Mikvos, that sometimes you have a mixture of waters. All of the water is potentially kosher to be used for tefillah, but it's different in terms of different kinds of bodies of water out there. Basically, the Torah says, there are two fundamentally different types of bodies of water we table in. One is a mikvah mayim. Bor mikvah mayim means you dig a hole in the ground and you collect water, rainwater. That's one. That's most of our mikvah, something like that. In the olden days, they just dug a hole and waited for the rain, so we do it a little bit fancier than that. But it's basically the same idea. It's to dig a hole in the ground and hope for the best. Then there's another kind of a body of water called a mayan. Mayan means an underground spring. So you dig, and you don't even have to dig. The water's coming shooting out of the cave in the middle of the little tzvat. The Riyah Kodesh is mikvah. There's not a mikvah, it's a mayan. So you have mikvahs and you have mayanas. So either one of those bodies of water are perfectly okay. But the halakhah is slightly different. One of the big differences between a mikvah and a mayan is that a mayan is metar b'zoichlin and a mikvah is a metar b'zoichlin. A mayan can be metahir, can work, even though it's moving. It's always moving. A mikvah is always moving. A mayan, by definition, a spring is always bubbling, it's always moving around. So a vader mayan is metar b'zoichlin. A mikvah is not metar b'zoichlin. If you have water, rainwater, that's moving around, coming down a mountain or something, so it's not metar b'zoichlin. The pashas that dvarim is, that's a dimid eraisa. It's learned out from a posse of Tereskonim, ach mayan obor, there's a difference between the two. So the Pashas Ram is dealing with the derais. It's that halacha that mayim make a shalom apostle b'zochlin that causes a lot of extra expenses in our mikvahs. When we build our mikvahs, so we want to build them very, very well that we should never ever run into any problem of zochlin, because zochlin is going to mamish kill the mikvah. So we have to do a lot of things to avoid zochlin. So one of the things we have to do to avoid zochlin is you have to make sure that there are no cracks in the mikvah ever, that the cement is very, very good, because otherwise the water starts to seep out. Some Rishonim say that's called the zochlin. Or let's say we have to be concerned when we have filters in our mikvahs, make sure nobody uses the mikvah when it's being filtered, because then the water is being moving around in the filter. Maybe that's called zochlin according to others. So we have a lot of things that have to be very careful about in modern day mikvahs because of this problem of zochlin. So the Mishnah describes that sometimes you can have a problem, you can have an issue of a body of water, and you're not quite sure whether you have mei mayim or you have mei gesham on your hands. That's going to be a big nafkamina if the body of water is moving. If it's mei gesham, then it's a problem. If it's mei mayim, then it's okay. What do you mean you don't know? Just take a look. Is the water coming from the sky? Is it coming from the ground? The teretz is coming from both. It's a little bit of both. You have underground springs, and it's also being fed, also being supplied by the rain. So which one is it? So the Mishnah says a rov. Mishnah rabbah not from azochlin. So if you have more rainwater than spring water, then you have to treat it like a rain. And the rainwater mikvah cannot be zochlin. If it's the other way around, if it's rov zochlin, then it would be okay. So that's the Mishnah. Those are pretty simple halachas. Then the Gemara gets into complications in the Masechet Nedarim and the Mechayris and Shabbos about how do you sometimes measure this. Sometimes it's not so easy how to measure these things, whether you have rov notfin or rov zochlin, whether you have rov rainwater, rov spring water. And there's one particular kind of a body of water that becomes very, very problematic. Those are rivers. Because rivers tend to have combinations of both. Rivers usually have a mayan, some kind of underground springs that are feeding the river. On the other hand, the rivers are very often supplied by rain or melted snow. Melted snow is also typically like rain. So now you have this raging river, you have the Hudson River, you got the Harlem River, you got these, you got the Nile River. What's good other rivers? What? You know, a good river. The Amazon, no. Okay, the Euphrates, favorite river. Okay, you have Nahar-Pras, Nahar-Pras. So you got the Euphrates River, and you're scratching your head and trying to figure out what's going on here. I got a lot of water flying around. The river's obviously moving. Rivers always move, so it's always cycling. So I want to know, Mitzias, where's most of this water coming from? Is most of the water coming from underground springs? Is most of the water coming from rain or melted snow? It's Nafkamin Ladina, whether the river's kosher tefillah or not. So this was a big, 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 big machlaikis in the Gemara, machlaikis in the Tanoim, machlaikis in the Rhyme, machlaikis in the Rishayim, machlaikis in the Shechonah. This has been an ongoing debate about the status of rivers. And at least according to many opinions in the Gemara, and we may even paskin, it may depend on the time of the year. The answer to the question may not always be the same. Certain times of the year, especially after the winters, there's a lot of melted snow, so that may tip the river in one direction. On the other hand, towards the end of the summer, when all the snow is already gone, and it has been raining for the last few months in that part of the world, and now the river's on a lower level, so that it may be, Taka, maybe mostly underground springs. So the answer to the question may be, it depends. Then it depends on a lot of different factors. Geological factors, meteorological factors, you have to really understand the rivers very well. So the Gemara has a famous discussion about Nahar Pras, about Tovlin and Nahar Pras, Yemei Nisan. The Gemara talks about that if you want to Tovlin Nahar Pras and Yemei Nisan, that's going to be a problem, according to some, because you have to always reckon in that there's a lot of melted snow from the mountains of Turkey, that's where the snow is coming, and it eventually feeds into the Euphrates. So the Gemara says that the Euphrates and Nahar Pras in the springtime, Yemei Nisan, may be problematic because most of the water, since the high levels of the water, may be attributed to the extra snow that's melting. Very sure, Gemara. So I remember years ago when it was the second Gulf War. So when the Americans invaded into Iraq, it was in the middle of March. Around the middle of March. I remember I was listening to the radio, and one of these great commentators was explaining why they had to go dafka. These 2 days of the year had to be perfectly this time, because it's giving a whole shiklali about the way the Euphrates River is overflowing at this time of the year, and this is the right time to go. And to explain all the military milers of going past the Euphrates dafka this time of the year, based on the melted snow off the mountains, the Turkey, the whole Chagadja. I was listening to this guy, and I said, afterwards, I could have given the exact same talk. I said, just read Iran, it's the Beferish Iran, the Masechet Nedarim. I said, the world has changed a lot, but the Euphrates hasn't changed much in the last 2,000 years. The same thing it was doing in the days of Rav and Shmuel, it's doing in the days of Saddam Hussein. So nice, it's the same pismin. So Barshik Ivanti, if they would have called from the Pentagon, I could have told them exactly when's a good time to cross the Euphrates. Okay, anyway, so Rabbi Yisai, getting back to the story. So Rabbi Natam has a famous comment in his whole discussion about these rivers. Rabbi Natam was the biggest maker in the Hilchos rivers, in Hilchos Mikvot. Rabbi Natam said that all the rivers are kosher. You know why the rivers are kosher? Because he says that the way we passed it at the end of the day, it's all rov mei mayan. It's all end up going to be rov mei mayan, and there's nothing to worry about. And then Rabbi Natam throws in another clue. He says that even Aniyach, that for some strange reason, maybe it's not rov mayan, maybe there's a lot of making shamim. So he says it doesn't really matter because Minat Torah is mutter anyway. Minat Torah, there's really no problem altogether. You know why? Because you for sure start out with Meimayim. Definitely an underground spring somewhere that started off this river. So you started out with a little bit of water that was a Mayan, and now you have a little bit of rainwater that falls into it. So says Rabbi Natan, what's the big deal? So the first drop that falls in, Chizbatul Berayv, and the next drop that falls in is Vaitabatul Berayv. So Rabbi Natan, Kama Kama Batul, I in the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah, Kama Kama Batul, says Rabbi Natan. The Gemara says if you have too much rainwater passes the mikveh, it's a chumah midrabbanan. Midaraisa vadetzmuth. Even if it's right, megisham. Even if my geological surveys of the rivers are wrong, I'm still right midaraisa. There's still nothing to worry about because midaraisa you could say kama kama bottle and everything is hunky dory. So come to Rishayim and jump in Rabbeinu Tam and says kama kama bottle. What? It's a chayz of an air. Once you have so much negishamim that has now taken over the main mayon, assuming those facts are right, so then you have a big problem. So then once you have so much megishamim, not as much main mayon anymore, you have a problem with the raisa. It's a problem with zechem with the raisa. So Rabbeinu Tam, back of Rabbeinu Tam's mind, part of his kula, part of his heter, to permit all the tivels and the rivers throughout Europe, was the fact that he held up in a tivel, there was nothing to worry about altogether. Because he basically held like the raivet. I mean, pretty much. But the raivet is saying in Chelek Aleph in Yerodea, that kama kama botol taka works with the raisa, solves all the world's problems, Bikur Adin. So too, Rabbeinu Tam is saying in Chelek Beis in Yerodea. So it could be that we don't pass Kedidah like the Ravid. Well, like Rabbeinu Tam. Could be that we pass Kedidah like the Ravid across the board. But at least that Rabbeinu Tam's idea was pretty much the same notion as the Ravid was saying. Whether we have a right to compare both areas of Allah is a different question, but Rabbeinu Tam seemed to be equating the two. When he was passing in the Kula, the Mikra didn't come and both. This is part of where the Mordechai has a famous response. They asked the Mordechai Shiloh about in Europe, the minig was, and many communities used to rely on Rabbeinu Tam. Used to let the women tovel in the rivers because the pasha couldn't build mikvahs. In some of the far-flung Jewish communities, so they didn't have enough money. The pasha couldn't have three Jewish families somewhere. They couldn't build a mikvah. So Rabbeinu Tam said you could use the rivers. So the Rishonim write, "Kedai Rabbeinu Tam esmochol b'shasachach." That's what the Ramah quotes. The Ramah writes that shasachach gadol. There's no other mikvah around. You can rely on Rabbeinu Tam. But many of the Rishonim didn't like that. So the Mordechai quotes that there used to be people. But when they would ask for shidduchim, when they would want to find out whether they should marry this person, so they used to ask the following question. We think we have crazy questions. This is the question they used to ask. The Mordechai statement Feirish says that, he quotes from Imam Rutenberg, that people used to ask the Rabbanim and say, "That woman, I want to marry this, I want to marry that lady. I want to know about her mother." They would never ask, does the woman keep Taz HaMishpacha? Who in Europe didn't keep Taz HaMishpacha in the days of the Rishayim? So they would ask, did her mother go to the mikveh in the river? Or did she go to a real mikvah? And if she went to the river, I don't want to marry the daughter because it's a pagam and we pass. And the whole thing is not true. There's no ramifications anyway. There's no mamzeris anyway for ben neither. But people didn't want to get involved with a quote unquote ben neither. So not only did they not want to get involved with a ben or a bas neither, they didn't want to get involved with someone who was relying on Rabbeinu Tam's kula. So they would ask that shayla. They would ask whether that person came from a mother who used to use the river for the mikvah. So the Mordechai responded to the El Sholem and said, that's ridiculous. He says, first of all, if he didn't, even if she didn't go to the mikvah altogether, the child is kosher. And even if you tell me that you don't want to marry your family, whatever the cheshbon is, super meta, meta halachic issues that bother you. So he says that, but midaraisa, for sure the river is kosher. So midaraisa, the river is kosher anyway. He tries to explain to you why that's true. So midaraisa, for sure the river is kosher, but the time maybe. For sure the river is kosher. So watch, she's a ben nida of a derabanan. For that, you don't have to break the shidduch. So that's what he talks about. So in the middle of the Achaz Benair, that was the Rishonim days of a version of Wire Connect. So that was the issue. That was what the Shas they were talking about. So Rabbeinu Tam's Achaz Benair, Kam Kam Bottle becomes part of that grandiose scheme as well. So bottom line is, the Rishonim discussed this issue of Kam Kam Bottle in different areas, both in terms of Hilchos Taravis and in terms of Hilchos Mikvah.
Just to clarify, is a mikvah different than a Mayan in what's been starting 40 so called Mevu Shabolim can't ruin it?
No, but a Mayan is even better. A Mayan, even a Mayan kosher.
I don't understand what's the shallow by the rivers. Why if I'm starting with Mayan, so no matter how much rain comes in,
you were coming to Truman Sadeshin's kasha. The Truman Sadeshin asked the kasha. He said that din of nothing ruins. That means Mayim Shuvim don't ruin it, but other things. But if it's make a shaman will ruin it. So he asked, how come we say when it comes to Mayim Shuvim that fall into a, let's say you have a kosher mikvah, and Mayim Shuvim falls into all the water in the world that falls in one pasul, everything becomes derech zri, it becomes part of the mikvah. How come you don't say that same svara when it comes to make a shavim fall into a Mayim? That's his kasha. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says it's no good. So he explains to you why a shakal works for one, doesn't work for another. Okay? We mechavim the Truman Sadeshin's kasha. I mean, he made up the kasha, so he made up the shayla. He asked himself the shayla, and he wrote his tzikl tzarek to explain. Okay, good. Anyway, right, so getting back to your day for like Aleph. So the halacha, no one really is going to follow. Conventional wisdom is not going to follow this rite at all. We're going to assume that Chayz Benir, once you have up the Shishim already, you have so much Issa fell in, now you can taste it. It's not Bogle Shishim, it's going to be a problem. But maybe we could still salvage this idea of Kama Kama Batal, albeit not necessarily in a Tarovas of Min Mishen Amino, but maybe we can salvage it in a different kind of a Tarovas, Tarovas of Min Bavino, particularly a Tarovas of Yavish B'Yavish. You know, when we deal with a Min Bavino of Lach B'Lach, so we're always very, very weary, because a Tarovas of Min Bavino Lach B'Lach, even though it's not a problem in the Raisa, it always becomes us anyway, because the, especially according to the Rush, the whole Gezerah of Min Bimina Lach Balach was Atam Min Mishen Amina Lach Balach. So we're not going to talk about Lach Balach. We're not going to talk about when there's either literal taste or equivalent of taste. We're going to talk about Yavish B'Yavish. What's the din? We have Yavish B'Yavish. I have three pieces of meat, two Akasha, one Strafe. I just Paskid, two out of three. It's bottle, we're all finished. So Mikro Yidin, you can eat them and show it. And then, lo and behold, another piece of trefus falls in. So now, do I say, well, now I have 3-1, so I'm okay? Another one falls in, now I have 4-1, so I'm fighter, okay? Or do I say, no, wait a second. Once you keep on throwing in more Isser, so now at the end of the day, you got 80% of this is trefus. So you can't call that rov anymore. It's chayz v'neya. So do you say, kama kama bata by yavish b'yavish? So by lach b'lach, we're going to have to defer to most of the Rishonim. But by yavish b'yavish, we still could discuss the shayla. So here, we find that the Rishonim discussed it explicitly because there are Mishnayos that talk about it. It's just unclear what the Mishnayos say. There are two Mishnayos that talk about it, and they seem to contradict each other. So one of the Mishnayos talks about in the Sugya of Truma. So we know this, the Chazer for Sechem, the Shia of Dikra for Truma. So Min HaTorah, Truma is probably the same as everything else. It's Baltu Chad Betray. So let's say you have three loaves of bread, two of them are Chul, one of them is Truma, they get mixed up together, and you're leaving out, you know, Dover Choshev, things like that. So then, midrash the chabad shir bottle and finish. But the rabbanon they made a takana that you don't say chabad shir bottle. How much do you need? So the Mishnah says an unbelievable chesed 100 times. Where in the world that magic number 100 times come from? Who made up the number 100? So the Gemara says, well, k'shem sheisuro b'meya kachater b'meya. Because if you think about it, that when you mafish truma, so there really is no shia how much truma you have to be mafish. Chita filo chidach is potter as a decree. Even the smallest amount get potter. But Trumas Maiser, there is Taka Shia to it. That's a Maiser and a Maiser, that's 100. So the Torah does give a Shia of 100. So the number, the ratio of 1 to 100 is significant in Ruchas Trumas. So that's so just as in the realm of Isurim, just in the realm of Heterim, you have to take out one Truma is going to solve the problem for the other, for the rest of the 99. So too, in the realm of Isurim, Kishem Shatera B'Meya, Kachisur B'Meya, if you have 100, it's going to cause a problem. If you have more than 100, then it's going to be okay. So it's a special din that Truma is bought of B'meya. Is that a din Midaraisa? Is this a real drasha? So Taisus writes in a few places, they don't believe this is a real drasha. They think that Midaraisa, Chad B'Trei Batal, is Opsa Asmach to the Yama. Then the Mishnayos have an additional din that's built off of this, the fact that Ol and Kilei Kerem are also B'Masayim. The same way that Truma needs 100, so Ol and Kilei Kerem require 200. Why is that? So the Gemara says that because Truma is only in the Serachim, it's not the Banah, whereas all in Kilo Kerem are twice as bad, because also be a Chilu Banah, Kishem Shekafel B'Yisur, Kach Kafel B'Shiyurai. The same way that the Halacha requires that you have to be extra Machmur, twice as Machmur with all in Kilo Kerem, to Asa Banah in addition to Achila, so to the Shiyur has to be twice as much as well. That's also a din. Where'd that come from? So if the whole din of Truma is on the Midrabanan, Avada, this Chumra of all in Kilo Kerem is going to be the Rabbanan. So the Pashat Varm is, all these added shiurim of 100, 200, all these wild, you know, Sabachurish, Dika, Svaras, to us, these are all Svaras Midrabanan, Midaraisa, the whole thing doesn't exist. Midaraisa, Chadak, Rebota, by Truma, by all the Kilo Kerem, the other words. Fine. So whatever world we're living in, the world of the Rabbanan, Zozayim, we're living in the world of the Rabbanan. So what's the din in the following case? Let's say I have a big pile of a chulin. A lot of stuff of chulin in there, and a little bit of truma falls in, and a little bit of truma, Baruch Hashem, is batal b'meya. So I'm more happy, I'm thrilled to say that it's batal b'meya. And I declare it's mutter. So I realize I have what's called Yedias HaTaremis. I realize I have my little bit of truma fell in. I come to the very, very happy conclusion of Baruch Hashem, I measure it out, counts it out. Turns out it's batal b'meya. I'm all ready to make a party, eat it, I'm gavaldic. Then what happens? Then another piece falls in. So now what do you do? So Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, Maseches Truma says, no problem. So the other one fell in, big deal. Once you had the Yedias HaTaravos, so it was mutter. Once it was mutter, it's mutter. So what is Rabbi Shimon basically saying? He's basically saying, kama kama batel. He's saying that you don't say chayz v'neir, at least by Yavish B'Yavish. He's saying, kama kama batel. Why did he require Yedias HaTaravos? So that's not such a strong kasha. We know this already. Yedias HaTaravos is very, very important. That's the moment of truth many, many times. Now we've seen this is maybe even the moment of truth. Who remembers Yedias HaHeter? Who remembers Yedias HaHeter took Yedias HaTaravos and said it's the moment of truth for what? For what? That was he's such a believer in Yisrael Harovet, even to potentially alter the din of Chetichat Zveil. That the Shach couldn't believe. The Shach said, "Come on, Chetichat Zveil. That's the world of Tom. That's the world of reality. Yisrael Harovet is lamal of lemeiri." But again, that was his mechudishtik idea. But putting aside this, there is a concept of Yisrael Harovet. So Rabbi Shimon says, "Yeah, Yisrael Harovet. Yisrael Harovet is the moment in time that we say kama kama botel." So if a little bit of truma fell in, I didn't know about it yet, and then another piece falls in, that's like it falling in at the same time. That's not kama kama botel. That's like, instead of one piece falling in, 20 pieces falling in at the same time. That's not going to be botel. But as long as you had kama kama botel, which is translated to mean beidias tarevis, accomplished beidias tarevis, then you're home free. So Rabbi Shimon's gevalik. Sounds like he's the way to go. But the problem is that the Chum disagrees with Rabbi Shimon. The Chum says it's not true, that the tarevis remains aser. The tarevis now becomes aser. Why does it become also? What's the Nekudas of Machlokes? Why did the Chum disagree with Shimon? Shimon makes so much sense. So the Rash, in his Perush Mishnah, says that the Chum don't really fundamentally disagree with Shimon. They also agree to Kama Kama Bokal. They also say, at least by Yavash, you don't say Chayz Vineya. So why do they say it over here? So says the Rash, because the Chum hold, the Bittul didn't take place yet. What do you mean the Bittul didn't take place yet? It got mixed in. How do you get started right this? I asked the rabbi says it's mutter, but really didn't take place yet. Because there happens to be a din tucked away in Hechas Trumas, that even in a case where something's bottle, let's say it's a million times of chulin to one drop of truma, so it's bottle. In terms of your day, in terms of it's the heter and home free, Chayshe Mishpa dictates to me, the kohen is going to be hungry. The kohen didn't get his food. At the end of the day, from Hefse Mamashal Kohen, the correct thing to do, that's just the correct thing, the halacha requires of you to take whatever that amount of issa was, and give the equivalent to the kohen as truma. Again, with the rice you don't have to do it. With the rice it's bottle. With the rice not. But mishum hefse mamon kohen, the chomo misakin, that even though it's bottle, if it's not bottle, then you can't eat the whole thing. You have to give the whole thing to the kohen. But even if it's bottle, so with the rice it's mutter, with the rabban it's mutter, even though it's mutter, you still have to give the equivalent to the kohen. So comes the Rash and says, that's the problem, this Mishnah. You didn't do that yet. You didn't give that amount to the kohen yet. So therefore, what? Says the Rash, Toz man, you haven't given that amount to the kohen. So the Chacham say the Tarevis wasn't chal yet. The Heta wasn't chal. We didn't give you a green light yet. We didn't put a stamp on it. We're only going to put the Hashkacha on it after you give the money to the kohen. After you give the equivalent amount of Truma to the kohen. So since we didn't give the Hashkacha on it yet, it wasn't bottle yet. So since it wasn't bottle yet, now when subsequent Truma falls in, I can't say Kama Kama bottle. No. It's not yet Kama Kama bottle. It wasn't bottle. So therein lies the Machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Shimon, the bittul took place idias tarevis. The fact that the cheshed mishpat, you got to give some money to the kohen, so that's between you and the kohen. That doesn't affect the kashrus. So we'll give you your teuda. It's like sometimes you have this issue in hashkachas. The food is kosher, but they haven't paid the mashgiach yet. So should we renew the teuda or not? So that's what's going on. Because according to the Rash, if the food's kosher, we renew the teuda. He has an outstanding dintar with the mashgiach. So we'll find out amazing. We'll figure out what to do with it. That doesn't affect the kashrus of the food. And the rabbanim say no. The chum say, if you owe the money to the kohen, we're not going to give you the green light. I mean, it's not exactly the same. I just felt to dramatize it a little bit. We're not going to give you the green light. So it's not bottle. It's not bottle. Then you can't say kama kama bottle. But the ikaron, says the Rash, even the Chum agreed, there is a concept of kama kama bottle. How is that going to play out in terms of other isurim? So says the Rash, what if it's not truma? What if it's regular yavish be yavish? When the veila falls into shchuta, there's nothing. What are you going to take out? You're going to take a piece of the veila and give it to the kohen. Give it to the dogs. What are you going to do? When things are batal b'rov, the batal b'rov. That idea of giving something to the kohen only makes sense when it's a hefsed mamon kohen. It's truma. That makes no sense in other realms, other areas of tarevis. So when all the dust settles, says the Rash, the only reason why we reject Rabbi Shimon is because of a quirk in the Chas Truma. But the Ikaron, fundamentally, the Rabbi Shimon is 100% correct, and we can extrapolate from Rabbi Shimon's sheet and truma to other cases as well. What prompted the Rash to believe this? Why the Rash was so convinced that this is the reality, this is the facts that we do say kama kama bottle, at least by yavish be yavish? So the Rash says it's a Mefarish Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about Orla. The Mishnah talks about going back to the case of Orla. If you have a Tarovis of Orla with Dvarim HaMutarim, so Orla is normally bottle Echav HaMasayim. So a little bit of Orla fell in. So the Mishnah says a little bit of Orla fell in, and we paskid that it was okay. So good, so we pass it as all right. And now more orla falls in. So the Mishnah says, don't worry about it. It's okay. If the orla is bottle, it's bottle. When you stop the air but fell in the first time or the second time, so it's going to be more than Messiah. Big deal, the Mishnah says, it's still mutter. Not only does the Mishnah say that it's okay, the Mishnah says you can actually add the original orla to the count. It means you started out, you had 200 times of mutter to one part of orla. And now, when more stuff falls in, you're going to need that one part of orla to put you over the top to be provided for the second thing that's falling in, because the second time around, 1.1 thing falls in. So it's only going to be mutter if you add on the dover orla to the original count, to make it more than Masayim. So the Mishnah says, that's also okay. Orla's malas orla. So says the Rash, if orla's malas orla, if the original orla counts to help you for the subsequent bitulim, obviously it's not going to harm you. Obviously, you said kamakama botil, lifting the Mishnah in orla is obviously the assumption that kamakama botil. So the Rash says, obviously, nobody can argue. That's the first Mishnah that kamakama botil, at least by Yavish by Yavish. So vada kamakama botil by Yavish by Yavish. There's no mistake as Tam. So vada kamakama botil. The only reason why it fails a little bit in Masechus Trumas is because of that quirk of that's not quite, you didn't get the green light yet to be mivatla because the Haramas HaTruma didn't take place. In contrast to the Rash, so not to be confused with the Rash, but the Rash says that this pshat in the Mishnah is the exact opposite. Namely, that this is bechlal not what's going on in these two Mishnayos. Says the Rash, he says, the whole answer of the Rash, the whole yisoid of the Rash, that the reason why the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Shimon is because the Haramas HaTruma to the Kohen didn't take place yet, and that prevents us from saying the Tarevis is Chal, and that's what enables the Bittul to be undone. So the Rosh says he doesn't believe that. He says that Lo Malavim. He says the fact that you gave to the Kohen, you didn't pay the, that's like paying the Mashgiach. Whether you pay the Mashgiach, you didn't pay the Mashgiach, the food is kosher. You should pay the Mashgiach, but the food is still kosher. So says the Rosh, everybody agrees that Yedias HaTarevis is when the Tarevis is taking place. Of course that's the moment of truth. Whether you like this vehet or not, it's irrelevant. Avada, Yedias HaTarevis is the moment of truth. So what did the Chacham mean when the Chacham say putting it subsequent truma causes a problem? What the Chacham are telling us is that what principle is not true? Kamakam Bottle is taka not true. That's exactly the Kusa Machlokes, Shimon the Rabbana. So where is it going to the Rash? Everybody agrees to Kamakam Bottle. It's just that in the case of truma, you can't apply the coin to the Chachamim. According to the Rush, that's exactly what they're fighting about. Is there a principle called Kamakam Bottle or not? So when all the dust settles, says the Rush, we pass it not from Shimon. The Chiyus come to Hilger Rabbi Shimon. We spent a lot of time in him in Ksubis, but we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon in this case. We pass like the Chachamim. So we subscribe to the view that Tachi don't say Kamakam Bottle, which basically means we say Chayze V'Neir. I already do about the Mishnah in Maseches Orla. Doesn't the Mishnah Orla talk about Orlam of Atlas or Orla? So says the Rush, no, you totally misunderstood that Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Orlam of Atlas or Orla, it's not that the second time around Orla fell in. Either the Mishnah says Orla, Orla doesn't mean Orla. Orla means different things. The word Orla sometimes refers to the first 3 years, and sometimes it refers to the fourth year also. Ravai is also called Orla sometimes, by Lashon Chazal. Ravai is a different din lagamrei. There's an Isser of Achila and Hano on the first 3 years, and then there's a din of Ravai. Ravai means, there's no Isser Achila on Ravai. You can't eat it outside the Yerushalayim. It's like Ma'aseh Sheni. Kodesh from Ma'aseh Sheni. It's like Gzeir Shava, Mudaf from Ma'aseh Sheni. So you have to take the Ravai and bring it to the basin, bring it to Yerushalayim, and eat it B'Kedusha V'Tahara. It's a different din lagamrei. It doesn't have to do with Orla. One is a shame Orla, one is a shame Ravai. In Lashon Chazal, they'll sometimes use the terms interchangeably. So when the Mishnah says that, don't worry about it, when the subsequent Issa falls in, it's not going to cause you any problems. It's not going to add to the original Cheshbon. Fakir, it's going to help you be Mevatel. The original Cheshbon is going to help you be Mevatel. The subsequent problem, that's because they're different problems. So Orla is Mevatel Ravai, Ravai is Mevatel Orla, but Orla is not going to be Mevatel Orla. If Orla itself falls in the second time around, it's going to say Chayze V'Neir. The only reason why you don't say Chayze V'Neir, it's a different Issa. The Gemara says in Zavachim that Isur Mevatel and Zedzeh, that Isurim can be Mevatel each other, even though they're all Asur, but since they're different types of Isurim, they can be Mevatel Zedzeh. The Gemara talks about if you have a pile of three pieces of meat, one's Noser, one's Pika, one's Tomei, and they all get mixed in together, so everything's Mutter, because the Noser and the Tomei are Mevatel the Pika. The Pika and the Noser are Mevatel the Tomei, and you figure out the math, whatever. Everyone's Mevatel. Everything is Asur. So what? This is Yisurim. This is your day. This is the world of, it's an Epochlios Heters. There it's an unbelievable Chiddush. They're the old Dvar Masurim, and it's still worse, because Yisurim Levatim Zedzeh. So that's what the Rosh says, that the Mishnah Orla is Bechal not write anything. I mean, of course there's a din of Chayzim in here. If Adam don't say Kamakam Bottle, that Mishnah is talking about something radically different. Of course, that Rosh is only as true as his linguistics are true. It means, is it really true that Orla and Ravoi are really so different from one another? Orla and Ravoi are halakhically so fundamentally different from one another that Orla and Orla will join together. Orla and Ravoi won't join together. So this is already a lomdish shadow, way beyond these yardei chelak gimel. This is when you learn Hukas Orla, so you have to figure out Is Ravoi fundamentally the same thing as Orla? It's really the same, Misser. You're not allowed to use the fruit of the tree for the first 4 years. The first 3 years, it's Issa Ve'achila Ve'ano. And the fourth year, you're really not allowed to eat it unless you go to Yerushalayim and eat it. So, or you're paid to eat. So, but Ravoi is really just, it's a lower form. It's the same basic Issa of Orla, just a little toned down. What do I say? No, the Rosh is right. Gamri, Defini, Surim. That all and all are joined together to cause problems, but all the Ravoi are like Pigal and Issa, they're two totally different Surim. So that's a very lomdish shaila in terms of the sugyas of Ol and Ravai. Are they really one Isra, or are they really fundamentally two Isra? Anyone know what's the major machlokes we're sharing about this? About chutz la'aretz. The Gemara says in Kedushin, there's a halacha mashma sinai that oil is chutz la'aretz is mehig. Even though oil should have been a mitzvah tuli b'aretz, but especially the Mishnah says oil is mehig b'chol makom. So the Gemara's machlokes, we pass that oil is chutz la'aretz is halacha mashma sinai. So there's machlokes ties in the Rambam whether that applies to Ravai as well. According to Tosfos, it applies to Ravai also. And according to the Rambam, no, there's no Ravai in Chutz Laretz. Why is there no Ravai in Chutz Laretz? So one of the Biurim, a couple of Biurim that said this, one of the famous Biurim of Reb Chaim is that the Reb Chaim claims that the Rambam understood that when the Torah says that oil is Nahig, the Parshas Kedoshim of Orla, that's only Kisavala Aretz, that's only in Eretz Yisrael. Then there's a special din called Orlas Chutz Laretz. The Torah is Mechadish and Parashas the din of Orlas Chutz Laretz. It was only Mechadish, Orlas Chutz Laretz. It was never Mechadish, Ravai Chutz Laretz. It's not included in the Halacha of Sinai. If you look in Parashas Kedoshim, so the Torah speaks that Orl and Ravai back to back. So in Eretz Yisrael, they both apply. But in Chutz Laretz, since they're really fundamentally two different halachas, the Torah is Mechadish, Orlas Chutz Laretz is Meg. It wasn't Mechadish, Ravai Chutz Laretz is Meg. Where it could be that Tosfos may have argued with that Nakuda, maybe Tosfos held that you can't split between oil and Ravai. It's all the same thing. You can't have oil without having Ravai. It's mamash the same parsha. So again, that's when you learn that sugya, the Rambam and Tosfos in the beginning of Kedushin, so it's a lot of lumbus about that. But that's what the Rosh is touching on here as well. So the bottom line is, it comes out to be now a major machlokes in the Gedolei HaRishonim as to what's going on. What it's the regular rule. Forget about the wild cases of oil and Trumas. Those there's run shadows. Not gonna have too many of the shadows. We want to know the nevelos and treifas and chazas shaylas. What's the din? You say chayz v'neir by yavish b'yavish or not? So the bottom line, it's a machlekes the gedolei HaRishonim, it's a machlekes the poskim in Shulchan Aruch. So the Ramah is the biggest machmer in chayz v'neir. The Ramah says, in case you had any question about any coolers of kama batel, so the Ramah tells you every possibility out there that it doesn't apply. What's the lashon Ramah? Everything's on bein v'mino, bein v'mishenu mino, bein v'lach, bein v'yavish. Right? He says it pretty much across the board. Everything is awesome. So the Shach was Ma'ira there. There's no weather and what was the Machmer? He says the Shach thinks that the more correct Pshat is the Rashi's Pshat. He thinks that the Rosh's beer in the Mishnais and oil is very, very forced, very, very dochok. To say that the Mishnah says oil, it really means Ravai. That's a big Kiddush. He thought that the simpler reading in the Mishnais was like the Rash, which would lead us in the direction of Kula. Not except for Truma. Truma is the exception because it's still Chaser giving to the Kohen. But outside the realm of Truma, everything really would have been okay. We would have Taka said that the Kama both also. The Shach writes, he thinks Meikim Mikradin, probably the Rash is correct. And again, you know, the Ramah said not to align, and okay, so Shas Chach, whatever it is, but the Shach fundamentally thought it was correct. So the Bir HaGra, there's a long, long Bir HaGra. I don't know if anyone read through this long Bir HaGra. Anyone had a chance to read through it? No, so there's a long Bir HaGra that basically the Bir HaGra points out that maybe the answer to these questions may not always be the same. It may depend on, do we have a derisive issue on our hands, or do we have a potential only derabundant issue on our hands? In all of those cases, the Trumas and Orla, the worst case scenario is that you're shy of 100 or 200. So you don't have all the right numbers for you. But Midaraisa, we couldn't care less about that. Midaraisa is Chabitri Batl anyway. But the minute that you start to extrapolate the cases of regular Isurim, so then there are no numbers of 100 and 200. They're just regular Chabitri Batls. If you're going to be Mekil, you can end up maybe Mekil on Deraisa. So if you have two pieces of kosher and one piece of tray for meat, you get mixed up together. Then another piece of tray falls in, another piece of tray, another piece of tray falls in. It says the Gro, you have to think a million times before you're going to be mapped to that, because if you're going to go on record and saying kama kama bato, then your mamash matrina deraisa, because lemaisa you don't really have the numbers of chad betray bato unless you're really really convinced kama kama bato actually works. But you ain't came when you're in the realm of the hundreds and the 200s. So big deal, the whole thing is derabanan anyway. So it could be there's a third sheet floating around, says the Gro, that vis-a-vis deraisas, so we paskin. Vis-a-vis the Rabbanans, maybe we have a right to say that Kama Kama Baltel. So you have a lot of different possibilities out there in terms of conceptually what we should say about Kama Kama Baltel. But there is one Nakuda that the Rush raises in the seventh parak of Chulin about Kama Kama Baltel, which really is a jump ahead to something hopefully we'll get to down the line. But the Rush raises a basic, we've talked about a little bit in the past, The Rush raises a basic question about how kamakama bottle doesn't work, how chayz v'neir kicks in. Says the Rush, we've alluded to the shiur of the Rush before, there is a gemara in many places that says chal b'trei batel, says machlekes rishonim, when we say the chal b'trei batel, does that mean I'm allowed to eat all three pieces or not? So the Tosfos Rida has a famous comment in Bava Basra, in the third parak, where he says, you cannot eat all three pieces. At least the same person can't eat all three. Says the Tosfos Rida, if you take all three and eat them together, say, Imam Shchayev Karis. If it's Chalav Chalav, you Chayev Karis. If it's Chazav, Nevelos, Trev, you Chayev Malchus. It's Mamash Nesedir Aisa. And the Rush writes, Bechlal, it's not Nesedir Aisa, it's Nesedir Rabbanon. You can eat all three Mamash at the same time. You take a sandwich and make all three pieces. You take all three slices and pick the same hero sandwich. The Tetagoma says the Rush. One of them is obviously Elsa. What's the answer? The famous Rush, as you said, it's a Nebuch Leel's Heta. Everything in your day changes. Heta Nebuch Leel's Issa, Issa Nebuch Leel's, everything changes. So the Rush says, by Yavish, the Yavish is Issa Nebuch Leel's Heta. We spoke a little bit, we spoke about this by Tumim Kamad Isadam, and we already touched on this a little bit. So the famous Rush said the Rush. So the Rush asks himself, I'm the biggest believer in the Mishnayos, that my interpretation of the Mishnayos and Shumas and Oil led me to believe that Chayz V'Neir really applies. We talk, don't say Kama Kama Bakhtil. Why don't we say kamakama bottle? According to me, I should be the biggest kamakama bottle person. Because Mamish Mutter. Bishlam, according to the Tosfos Rid, Bittel never really declared it was Mutter. Bittel just said, play the game, play the numbers game. You want to risk the statistics, you have a right to do so. But according to the Tosfos Rid, if he asks us to eat all three together, that shows that he doesn't believe it really, there's Nepach Leos out there. So then I understand Chayz V'Neir. But according to the Rush, who says that it's Nepach Leos out there, what's Chayz V'Neir? Chayz V'Neir what? It's Mutter. What do you mean Chayz V'Neir to do what? So the Rosh says, you have to say that Chayz V'Neir is a different vort lagamim. Chayz V'Neir means that it's ois tarevis. Chayz V'Neir undoes the etzem Hashem tarevis. Well, how does it undo the etzem tarevis? Etzem uruf. It's called nikra iser. Once something becomes nikra iser, we've seen this before. Once it's nikra iser, that's the death of a tarevis. A tarevis only exists as long as it's not nikra. Once nikra iser kicks in, it's ois tarevis. Once it's ois tarevis, then it's ois bittel also. So who did we have who said almost an identical vort? Who remembers? The Rashba. It was the Rashba by Tam Kikr. The Rashba said that, he asked the Kasha, how could you have Tam Kikr? What happened to Bittel Barayv? So the Rashba thought, and he said, Tam Kikr means it's Ois Tarevis. Tarevis is over because it's Nikar Issa. So we commented that that's a really big chiddush of an application of Nikar Issa. I thought Nikar means Nikar La'ayin. I look, if I see Chazal, this is Nikar. I don't see it, it's not Nikar. So the Rashba the chiddush, and he quoted a pasuk from who remembers? From Eof, to prove to you that food depends on taste. Nobody eats food because it's healthy. People eat food that tastes good. Haraya. But people buy. The guy wants to eat something. He buys a bag of potato chips. It's terrible for him. But it tastes good. Most people, when they're hungry, don't go buy a bag of carrots because it doesn't taste so good. So comes the Rashba and says, food is determined by the taste. So in Halacha, Nigar Isser is governed not only by the end, it's governed by the taste as well. So what the Rosh is saying is an unbelievable chiddush. She's saying that Nikar Issa is not only governed by the five senses, it's governed by the calculator also. It's governed by the numbers. If the feed the number games, you now know for a fact, statistically, you know that the numbers are, you have more history in here than you thought you had at the beginning, so you no longer can rely on Bittel Barayv, because you no longer have a Tarevis, because you have Nikar Issa. Nikar Issa, I can't tell anything. I have 40 pieces here, I have no idea what's what. But you know that 39 of them are treif. You know 38 out of the 40 are treif. The first three were 2-1, and then after that, the next 37 were all treif, one after another. So says the Rosh, who are you kidding? You know exactly what you have in front of you. So if you know the numbers are pointing Liyasar, so how does that work? It's an Epoch Liyasar. You're right, it's an Epoch Liyasar. Kozman, it's Bitarevis. The Kozman, Tarevis is bottle, no pun intended, Tarevis is bottle, so no Bittel's bottle also. So immediately you end up back with Nigar Issa, so you have a problem. So that's a whole newfangled understanding. Because the Rush had to come up with something, because the Rush was the biggest believer of Issa Nepech Leos Heta V'Yavish V'Yavish, and he's the biggest supporter of the Chayz V'Neir story, because he's the one who burnt the Mishnayos against the Rush. So the Rush had to come up with this newfangled idea called it's like a quasi-Nikar Issa. So that's it's a very conceptual, very lumdish way of Nikar Issa. It's even more lumdish than the Rush, but the Rush was hard enough for us to understand. This is a number kind of a Nikar Issa, but that's the Rush's understanding of what Nikar Issa is all about. Okay, so last thing we made a seam on Siman Tzadi Tess, right? Hopefully that's shown Tuesday. We'll start with the... Is that Mincha, guys? Okay.